Thank the Lord for the song this morning. I did not request that, but it goes right hand in hand with the burden that the Lord put on my heart this morning, or for this morning rather. We owe a great debt to the Lord, don't we? If you are saved this morning, you owe the Lord a debt. And that debt can never be repaid because God has done so much for us. A few weeks ago, we read in the book of 1 Samuel and just had a little side note along with the message on the voice of God and how knowing the voice of God, listening for the Lord to speak to us. We want to revisit this morning to start with back in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Hannah was at the tabernacle and she was praying because she was barren. She was not able to have a child, and she was desperately seeking for a child. Now, we find that Hannah's husband was very supportive of her, as it should be. But in many countries, barrenness is it's not looked at kindly, and many times husbands in some other countries that I have been, they do not treat their wife well. The reality is it might be because of the husband. But they place the burden on their wife, and I have prayed with many a couple that the Lord give them children, and God has answered that prayer many times. But there have been those that I remember, a woman that was in tears because she was not able to have a child, and her husband was pushing her away. We find that Hannah's husband was very supportive, but she was desperate before the Lord, seeking God. I want a child, Lord. Would you give me a child? And we find in the 11th verse of the first chapter of 1 Samuel that Hannah vowed a vow to the Lord. And she said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Lord, if you bless me with a son, I am going to turn around and I'm going to give him back to you. Has not God blessed all of us this morning? Is there anyone here that God has not blessed? God has been good to us this morning. I know that there are trials and battles and difficulties of life. But again, if you are saved this morning, you have much to give God thanks for. Hannah owed a debt to the Lord. See, God answered her prayer and gave her a son. She owed him a debt. God has given me the desire of my heart. So how could she repay the Lord? How could she come back with thanksgiving to God because she owed him? She gave back to God the very thing that he had given to her. Many times people say, God gave it to me. So God gave it. It's mine now. But do you realize this morning, as God has given to you, he is asking us this morning to give back to him. As God has blessed you in your life, the Lord wants us to have a heart of giving. That, Lord, I am thankful so much for what you've done for me that I just want to give back to you because I owe the Lord a debt. I could never repay the Lord for what he has done in my life this morning. There is no amount of money, and I'm not talking about 10% now. There is no amount of money that can ever repay the Lord for the debt, for what he has done for me, because I owe him a debt. There's no amount of money that can pay it back. There is no amount of time or sacrifice. I could give every waking hour of my life to the cause of God and the cause of the gospel, and I could never repay him because he's done so much for me. This morning, is it fair to ask you, and I will just examine my life, is it fair to ask you, have you been giving back to God? Have you been giving God back? And you say, well, God gave me this and He gave me that and it's mine. No, we are stewards of what God has given. But we owe Him a debt this morning. And there are too many people that are not following Hannah's example and they are holding on with tight fists. Clenched fist, saying, I'm going to hold on to this. This is mine. It's my money. It's my time. It's my energy. And I could be doing this with it, and I could be going here, and I could be doing that. We owe God a debt this morning. And there are too many people that are robbing God because they are not giving back freely. Not out of force. Not because you have to. Not because the church treasurer is sending out tithing cards, and if you don't pay your tithe, you get a call from the board of trustees. Shame on churches that do that. That's not what the New Testament teaches. He said, Jesus said, freely ye have received. Freely what? Freely give. Give back to God in every area of our life. Give to God. Give of your time. If the Lord inspires you and calls for you to work for Him, I want to encourage you this morning, give back to God. You say, well, Lord, I'll give you an hour, but I've really got other things I need to do. Shame on the devil. And let's not just blame the devil. Shame on us if we do that. It is God this morning that has blessed us. Every good gift, James chapter 1 verse 17, every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light. Everything we have this morning is from God. Do we recognize that? If you have, well, let's just read, let me share with you. Acts chapter 17, when Paul was on Mars Hill, beautiful sermon, message from God that he preached on Mars Hill. But he said, God has made the world. Seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is He worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything. He giveth to all life. Do you have life this morning? If I hope no one's shaking their head, no. We all have life this morning. Have breath in all things. And he went on to say, for in Him we live and move and have our being. Do you realize that everything we have is from God? That we were able to get up and face life this morning, as many burdens or difficulties as you might have today, your life is from God. And is there anyone that's willing to give back? Is there anybody that's willing to say, Lord, thank you for life? If you have a job, oh, thank you, Lord, for a job. Rather than complaining, well, I've got to go to work. There are a lot of people that don't have a job this morning. There are a lot of people that don't have a place to sleep at night. There are a lot of people that are going to bed cold at night. There are a lot of children that I see yearly, except this year, that don't have a bed to lay in. They don't have a blanket to cover themselves. They don't have a place to get cleaned up. But do you know, even in those circumstances, life is from God. The poorest of the poor still owe a debt that can never be repaid. Many times people say, well, I don't have a lot of time, or I don't have a lot of money, or I don't have a lot of this or that. It doesn't matter what we have. It is in us having a heart this morning that, Lord, I owe you a debt, and I want to give back to you. So if I just have a little, I can just give a little to God. But God does not measure in the quantity. He measures our sacrifice by the motivation and purpose of our heart. It might be the widow's mite, but God honors the small sacrifice because it's big when it's given with a heart of love and service to God. I'd like to tell you a story. You may wonder what these apples are for. I don't have enough for everybody to have one. But I have 10 apples up here. There is a story of a man that had nothing. He had nothing. And so he asked God to give him something, and God gave him 10 apples. And so we have 10 apples up here this morning. God gave him 10 apples, and the first 3 apples that God gave to him, they were for the man to eat. So you'll have something to eat. Then the second 3 apples, They were made to trade for shelter so the man could go to the market and trade them to have money, to have a place to sleep. And the other three apples were for the man to trade for clothing so he would have clothes to wear. And so now he had something to eat, he had food, and he had shelter, and he had clothes. And God gave the man the tenth apple so he would have something to give back to God. But it just so happened, and maybe I need to change these apples around a little bit. It just so happened that the man did just what he did. He ate the first three and he traded the others to get shelter and clothing. And then he looked really hard at that tenth apple. And knowing that God wanted him to give it back to him out of a grateful heart because of, I'm thankful, Lord, for what you did for me. But he looked at it and it seemed to be so much bigger and juicier than those other ten. And God is the one that has all the apples in the world anyway, isn't he? I mean, God owns all the apples anyway. They're all his anyway. And so the man, why would God really need this apple? And he gave it to him anyway. And so he ate it. And he gave the core to God. Should I just sit down now? What are we giving back to God this morning? I fear that there are too many, and we could talk about the world, but saints, I'm going to be direct with us this morning. I fear that too many are giving God the core. I've been blessed with this and that. You've given me time and energy. You've given me life. And Lord, I'll give you my leftovers. Give you my core. And the Lord is not requiring a tithe this morning from anyone. You know what a tithe is? Do you know that most Christians' denominations teach a tithe unscripturally today? Do you know how much a tithe was in the Old Testament? That's what they teach. But when you study the scripture out, there were at least, and there is some theological controversy, but you study it out, there were at least three tithes. 10% tithes. 10%! Of the Jews, the Jews were to give 10% yearly to the priests and the Levites. Alright? Those that were laboring in the temple, they were to give an additional tithe, which was in another 10% for the feast, the annual feast that were at Jerusalem. In other words, for worship. For the take care of the needs. And then there was a third tithe that was to be given every third year to support the poor in their communities. You total that up and you get 23.33333%. Alright? So the tithe, it was in essence a tax. Today we have a welfare system. Today there are some things that are government, because that was the government at that time in essence. And so we are taxed. And yet, what are we giving back to God? The New Testament does not teach a tithe like the Old Testament. Do you realize how many churches would go bankrupt today if they started teaching a giving of approximately 23% a year to the church? Do you know why that's not popular in tithe teaching today? Because people wouldn't do it. And so now they just teach one tithe. Well, where's it supposed to go? Is it supposed to go to take care of the chapel? Is it supposed to go take care of the poor? Or is it supposed to take care of the ministry? Well, if we would take care of all of them, 23%. And so they don't teach that, they teach 10%. But what are we taught in the New Testament? You know what the scripture says? Let's turn and read it. I want to be sure we understand that it is scriptural this morning. Over in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 6. My daughter asked me the other day, she said, Dad, do you read scriptures from your notes sometimes? Because you sure get there quicker. Sometimes I do. I'll turn to it, Vanessa. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, chapter 9, verse 6. He said, "But I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully." If you don't sow anything, you're not going to reap anything. But he went on to say, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver." What he was saying was, when you take it in context, he was saying, and the offering box has been put up, but he was saying, don't give of necessity. Some say, well, you mean if I see a need, that's not to prompt me? That's not what he's saying. Of necessity was of the law. It was of the tithe. You have to give your 10% to the Levites. You have to give your 10% to the for the feast in Jerusalem. And you have to give that third tithe every 3 years to the poor. And he said, don't give according to the law of tithing, but God wants a cheerful giver. There was a box even in the temple, one of the tithe in one of the, it was a love offering. It's where you put in extra out of the abundance of your heart to prove, show your love to God. This is what I have to give, and Lord, this is, I'm not just going to give you one, but I want to give you, Lord, you bless me so good, I want to give you three. We are not constrained this morning by a tithe, but there are many people that are tithing their time to God. They're tithing their time. Lord, I'll give you this. And they do good to even get to service, much less spend time in reading and prayer and going out and doing some work for God through the week, because they're giving God the core. They're giving God the leftover. What about in our finances this morning? This is a subject that I trust you all know I don't talk a lot about, because it's difficult for the ministry to teach on it. Because so many out in the world, ministers have the reputation they're just trying to get people's money. This is not self-serving this morning, but I'm not going to apologize for the Word of God. We live in a time that if I believe this, that if people were to give as they were supposed to give, there would not be near as many needs in the work of God as there are. And I'm going to bring it down real close so we can understand a principle. You see, the law was 23%, right? That was the tithe. Today, people say 10%. They've reduced it to make it a little easier. But that's not what we're under. But do you remember when Jesus came, he came and he raised the bar, right? Now it's not just committing adultery that's wrong. He said, if you look on a woman and lust after her, in other words, you would if you could. That's what we're talking about, not temptation. He said, you would if you could. He said that you've committed adultery already in your heart, because that's where your heart is. Well, he raised the bar. He did the same thing with the tithe. Now you're not bound by, well, just give one apple, or we'll give two apples and cut this one in thirds and give the Lord two and a third, because that would be the proper tithe. But all of these are God's. They are literally all God's, and we owe him a debt, and he raised the bar. Do you realize this morning, if everyone was to even give according to the law, one of the tithes, it would take care of a lot of the needs in the gospel. Can I bring it home a little closer? If you have 12 people that are working, 12 people that are working, do you realize that the one that is ministering, and I teach my children this, I was taught as a child, I have no ulterior motives teaching in the congregation this morning. Can I lay that to rest this morning? So y'all won't go home and say, well, Brother Michael was getting on to us, or he's trying. That's not it at all. I want the children and young people to get hold of this morning. It'll serve you well in the future. But if you have 12 people working, and I actually asked Brother Justin this morning, I said, what does it cost to operate general expenses about monthly? So here's what I figured. If you have 12 people giving a minimum of just 10%, the pastor or the ministry in the congregation would be making the same as the congregation, and you'd still have the additional 2% to take care of the general operating expenses in the chapel. Now, does that start bringing something a little closer to home? 12 people. Who's getting the core? You see? Got a letter from someone from India this week, or last week. And he said, and I'm hearing this all over the country, all over the world, all right? And it's true in the U.S. as well. They said, we are really suffering because they said we didn't have services. We're not having services, someone from India. He said, we're not having services. And he said, the people aren't giving and we're suffering. So if you don't have services, that free our obligation of coming and giving back to the Lord. Does that free us? So, well, if we're not going to service, the ministers will go hungry. That's what's happening all over the world, folks. That's what's happening. So the pastor, the minister's sick today, so they don't need to eat. Their family, well, they're gone. They went somewhere and they're not here. So then that week they starve or don't have anything to pay the electric bill. Do you realize this is happening again all over the world? Because people are either not thinking or they don't care, or they just have a core and say, Lord, I'll give you leftovers. When it's convenient, I'll give. And so that was just with 12 people. Can you imagine if you had a congregation of 24 working people? Do you know what you could do? Your expenses would go up. Okay. These are just basic expenses. Any expansions or improvements that take, dig a little deeper. Lord, here's an extra apple. But what it means is that means a congregation that has 24 working people should be able to support an evangelist or a missionary full time that's making the same amount of money as the average in the congregation, in addition to paying their pastor. You know how many times in the U.S. I've heard people make disparaging remarks about offerings that are posted? They go and they say, oh, the minister got so many hundreds of dollars. Well, looks like maybe I ought to go into that. Well, do you realize that we are supporting our ministers for more than just the 30, 45 minutes or an hour that they're preaching behind the pulpit? I know a lot of ministers are working a career and a job, and I will say this morning, there are some ministers God wants them to let their nets down and go work for God. I believe that this morning. Everybody has a different call. And I'm not saying it's wrong for a minister to work, but I'm saying I believe that there's a lot of work to do for God, that the Lord would like some to say, Lord, I'm willing to lay down my nets. But it's going to take, and I've received just even in the last short little while, some young brothers in the Lord that they feel like the Lord is calling them to a full-time work. Do you know when God calls, our trust is put in the Lord, but there is responsibility among God's people to step up and give back to God. Give back to God, because it's not always about what makes us feel good. There is duty. Lord, I'm giving out of my love. That it's not always a picture of the poor orphan child with tears running down his face, dressed in rags. There's something that says, oh, I'll buy him a coat. Or I'll buy him, and that moves us, doesn't it? We work with people like that yearly. That we work with people helping that, and that's wonderful. But what about someone that is laboring for God? It's like, well, that's just going to pay an electric bill, or that's just going to buy their clay. I'm drawn to that little orphan child. Do you realize the largest part of our giving is not romantic? It's nothing that's like, oh, it's going to change the world because I can see this orphan boy that had no clothes, now he has clothes. But it's enabling someone that is sacrificing their time and their energy to go out and work for God, or they would be tied down to a job too. I was taught this as a child from my father. He said, my father used to tell us, he said, full-time ministers are like widgets. They're expensive. Because they're rare. It's not something you find very often. And so, sometimes I'll just want to make this real, okay? We had a meeting one time, and I know I've shared it. We had a revival one time, and the offering, it was many, many, many thousands of dollars that came in, okay? It was the largest offering I've ever received, and I haven't received one like that since. All right, but I want to tell you how the Lord worked. We had gone, my wife and I and family, we had gone months with very, very little, okay? but we were still working full-time for the Lord. So I remember someone made a comment in the congregation about that offering. It's kind of one of those moments. You were here for a week. I mean, how many of you all would work for, you know, many thousands of dollars for a week? It's like, yeah, that's not bad. But what they didn't realize is we had an enormous need and bill coming. Plus, we'd gone for months with not much. And the Lord just used that as an opportunity to kind of help balance some things out. So I want to encourage the children and young people, when you have revival meetings and you have ministers that are sacrificing their lives for the gospel, the Lord has put responsibility on all of us to give back to God regularly. It's why the scripture says to lay up in store the first day of the week to give. In other words, it's not just, well, when the Lord hits me on the head and I have some inspiration to give. It's part of our worship because we owe the Lord a debt. Does that make sense? This is not intended to be a Bible study as such. But I want us to understand that we owe the debt, the Lord a debt that we can never repay. And if we would give as we Lord wants with our time and our energy, put God first, recognizing that the Lord wants us to give everything to Him. Give the best. Lord, which is the biggest apple here? Oh, Lord, you know what? I got a pay raise at work and I'm not just going to keep it to 10 or 20% that I'm giving because Lord, I'm still living on this amount here. So if you give me increases and maybe some wealth is accumulating, Lord, I can actually come to you and say, Lord, it's not just 10 or 20, but I want to give you back because you've blessed me so much. I tell the ministers in some of the poorest countries in Africa, it doesn't matter how poor you are. You still need to give too. So if God blesses you with $10, then give some of that back. Don't say, well, I'm working for God and I'm sacrificing so that, no, you just give, because God blessed you. So whether you're in ministry or whether you're working as a, whatever job you have, that's the blessing of God. And you say, Lord, I love you so much. Thank you for what you've done for me. I just want to give back to you, Lord. Is this all right this morning? We owe the Lord a great debt. Give and it shall be what? Given you. Again, this is not just about money this morning. But give of your time. Give of your energy. Give of your emotion. You remember I said it's wearing to deal with emotionally distraught people. It's wearing. It's difficult when someone has a need. It's easier to say, I don't want to deal with it and walk away. It is a loving person that says, I'm here for you. And you'll listen and you'll day after day and week after week. That's ministry. Give back to the Lord. He's done so much for us. Give and it shall be given you. Luke 6:38. Good measure. Pressed down and shaken together and running over. Shall men give unto your with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You want me to give a little story to illustrate what this is talking about? Used to, and still in some countries, they wear long robes. And if they went to the market to get something and they had a big load and they couldn't quite hold on to it, they would just take a fold of their robe. It's kind of like a woman with an apron on. Or a man with an apron on, if the case might be. But they open up that apron and they can put stuff in their apron, okay? So what he's talking about is that if the analogy is that if you give as you should, the Lord is going to return the blessing to you. Lord, I'm going to give you this. Do you know the next harvest might be bigger? Because you sacrificed and gave to God. And I will say as a side note that sometimes our giving is not out of our abundance. It is out of our sacrifice. I need it more than they do. And the Lord says, I want you to give back. Yes, Lord. You give back. The Lord will look after your needs. He will minister to you, whether it's of your time. Give of your time because there's coming a day when you're going to need a friend to stand by your side. So you be there for them. And if you're not, you can't really expect someone to stand by you because you haven't been there for them. Give back. And so he said, give and it shall be given you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. The reference here, there's a story that comes from about 509 BC. All right, so this is going back a long time. A man by the, and I butchered Gamaliel's name last week. You'll have to forgive me. I actually looked it up to be sure I pronounced it right. Then I realized when I started reading, it just came out wrong. That was who Paul studied under. But anyway, there was a man by the name of Alcmaeon, 590 BC in ancient Greece. And he was called by the king of, by King Croesus, the king of Lydia, and he was told he had done the king a favor. So the king told him, he said, you can come to my treasury. And he said, you can have as much gold as you can carry out of my treasury. Like, sounds pretty good. So the man came in and he wore boots, you know, the tall boots. He wore really wide boots. And he wore a really long robe with all folds. And he went into the treasury and he stuffed these boots full of gold. And he took gold dust and put it all in his hair. And he stuffed his mouth with gold and opened up the folds of his robe and put a bunch of gold in it. And he couldn't hardly walk. And he stepped out of the treasury, and all of the princes and the attendants at court, they saw the man and how ridiculous it looked, and they erupted in laughter. The king wasn't upset. He thought it was funny. They said the king just, he laughed until he cried. And he ended up giving the same amount that that man was able to carry out. He gave the man that much more. So this is the analogy. Given it shall be given you. Pressed down, shaken together. And there's another analogy in there about when you're filling like a bag full of flour or grain. But the second illustration says, shall men give to your bosom? Are we willing to give to the Lord knowing? I have another man told me a while back, a few years ago. He said, I've always heard that you can't outgive the Lord. Have y'all heard that? You're the only one. Has anybody else heard that? You can't outgive the Lord? Give back. The Lord gave me Samuel. Lord, I'm going to give him back to you. Are we willing to give God more than our cores? Folks, I want us to understand whether it be temporally, financially, with our time. But I fear that even as small as a people, as the saints, I appreciate the sacrifice. I appreciate the giving spirit. But when I look at the needs, I realize there's a lot of people giving cores. And a lot of work is being done and accomplished by a few that are giving back to the Lord with their hearts. And the Lord wants young people, don't wait until you think, well, I'm making enough money to make a difference. This should be something that we give back to God regularly. As the Lord blesses us, we turn right around off the top and give it back to God. It's what we do with our taxes, isn't it? So why would we put God further on the list? After I paid this bill and paid that bill, then I'll see what I can do. We've got that backwards. We need to give God of the first fruits off the top. Every paycheck, every blessing. We have an amount, Lord, we give this to you of our heart. And then when the Lord comes along and inspires more, we don't say, well, Lord, I already gave my apple this month. No, the Lord's saying, I want you to give more, and you will find that you can't outgive God. So we had a brother that told us, he said, I've always heard that. He said, I'm trying to see if it's true. He sends a check every month to the Africa Mission Work, and on the memo line it says, life insurance. That blesses me. Life insurance. I want to give back to God because the Lord's blessed me. And I know the brother's going through some hard times too, but it meant something for him to say, I want to just give back to God that I can help someone else. I want to give more than my core. What shall we render unto the Lord this morning? What are we going to give back? What is God calling for? The Lord loves what kind of a giver? A cheerful giver. Not because we have to, not because I'm forced to, but because I do it of a heart, of my own volition, because I love the Lord. Freely ye have received this morning, freely give. There's more that could be said, but I think for the moment we're getting close to being done for this morning. There are people that are poor among us. At the judgment in the book of Matthew 25, Jesus said, I was in prison. He said, you visited me. He said, I was naked and you clothed me, and I was hungry and you fed me. And the people said, when did we see you, Lord? And he said, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, you have done it unto me. As we do for others in assisting and helping. He didn't say whether they were worthy or not. He didn't say if someone in prison, well, are they guilty or not? That's going to kind of determine. That wasn't it. He said there's someone in need. One of the reasons that Christianity grew like it did in the early morning church, some historians say it was because of the charity of the church. People had never seen anything like it. That these people loved one another. They were giving, and it caused Christianity to spread because they saw something different. This morning, the Lord is not interested in the tithe. But I wonder this morning, if we were to start tithing among God's people, would we have more or less? What do you think, Brother Andy? If we all practiced a tithe, do you think we would have more or less? Might be debatable, huh? For some would be giving more, and some would be giving less. But if you start running some figures, I think there are too many that are giving a core. Folks, when there's work to do and you can't hardly get anybody to come do the work, of God. What does that mean we're given to the Lord? The core. I'll give, I'll come, I'll do, I'll sacrifice if I have extra. Service to God is not about extra, folks. It is about a debt that we owe. Lord, you've blessed me. You've answered my prayer, and I can never repay. So Lord, help me to be faithful to give back to you what you have given to me. God bless you.